We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your love, mercy, and grace bestowed upon us in this hour. Having sent to us the Spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of yourself, you yourself, giving of yourself and the gift of the Holy Ghost as your Son was given years ago in body form, we thank you for this, Lord, in our midst, and we glorify your great and holy name, knowing, Father, that this is that end time hour, and we realize that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will not pass away. And those that are one with your word are on solid rock, one with you, Lord. They'll not pass away, but they'll endure forever, even as our God endures. What a tremendous thing, Lord. Surely it is truly said in your word that eye hath not seen nor heard, neither than the hearts of men, not even by revelation, Lord, do we thoroughly grasp the truth that you set up there for us, the great millennium coming up and the great new Jerusalem coming beyond that, Lord, the eternity of eternities. We cannot grasp it, Lord, at all. There's just no way, being human as we are, of the earth earthy, but one day, Lord, we'll be like you in your image, and then all these things will just be natural to us. These things that are now, Lord, are natural to us. In the spiritual, they're quite natural too, if we'd only believe it. Just going on believing your word, Lord, day by day, and seeing the consummation of it. Help us to believe as you never believed before. For, Lord, you've come down to set your church in order, put all things right. Restoration, Lord, is at hand. We believe that. That's why we're so grateful tonight. And we cannot praise you enough. Help us to study your word, therefore, together in such a way as to give glory to yourself and edify us completely, O God, building us up in the most holy faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're on number 22, I believe, of Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. And, of course, you know the message is a threefold message. Three divisions, as Brother Branham said. Number one is revelation, God wanting to reveal himself. And, of course, to reveal himself, to make himself known, he would have to have something to make himself known to. And then, of course, the next was preeminence. And then to get preeminence, he would have to therefore come forth in such a way that he would get glory from those to whom he has revealed himself. And Brother Branham also called this manifestation, God manifesting himself. And thirdly, we notice Brother Branham said he brings us back to Eden, which is restoration, which we saw by prophetic projection, took us all the way from this point, which is the eternity and time blending, the ushering of the millennium, right up to Mount Zion. And tonight, we want to watch particularly, as we have been watching all along, where Brother Branham seems to be putting much upon the church, which actually it devolves solely upon him. So that as the church it does it simply because the prophet is a member of that body. And as he said, and I brought to your attention many times, if the hand does it, the body does it. So now we're here at page 67. We're going to recap one paragraph that has to do with coming back to the millennium. And at that day, the kingdom will be given over to the Father that he might be all and in all. And at that, Brother Branham is qualifying that and letting you know that that's at the time that the Lamb is upon the throne in the pyramidal city, New Jerusalem, upon Mount Zion, 1,500 miles at the base and 1,500 miles high. And, of course, the Christ the Lamb is on the throne and the pillar of fire is above the throne, yet they are one. And Brother Branham uses the term, while he's yet speaking, I'll hear. David and Christ. David sitting on the throne, and the king over the whole human race. And while they're thinking, I'll know what they're thinking about. Before they speak, I'll answer. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like a bullock. They shall feed together and lie down. They shall not hurt or destroy on my holy mountain. Right back exactly to Eden again, as hard as it can go. There's your threefold purpose. God, help us to know it. Help us to know it. Now, of course, you notice there he's taken Eden far beyond the millennium. And he's likening the actual rule of God upon earth, Mount Zion, all things in harmony, to the perfection of Eden. Of course, you remember that is true, with the exception that man is not in a mortal state. He's in an immortal state. Now, going back to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, where that day the kingdom will be given over to the Father, that he might be all in all. And we saw that started in the, beginning, I suppose, verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the firstfruit, afterward they that are Christ at his presence. Now, you're recognizing he's talking here about the resurrection. And he's talking about the time of the resurrection or the time of the first fruits. That is to say, when the Gentile church becomes a first fruit unto God, the same as the Old Testament church became a first fruit at the time of Christ's own resurrection. And he's telling you here then that this is going to all take place. It's going to start literally into the channel where you cannot turn back. Something is going to happen. Because it says here, every man his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his presence. Now that's the second half of the first resurrection we're looking at there. And that's the presence of Christ. Remember, Jesus does all three in descending, giving the message, giving the raising the dead. Now notice in here, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Now of course, what you're talking about there, the kingdom is being delivered, even the Father delivered up to him, and the Father is putting down all rule and all authority and power, and he's coming into a place of complete reigning in order to put all things under the feet of Jesus. That's exactly what you're looking at here. And the last enemy destroyed is death. Well, that's way down the road. That's at the lake of fire getting into the New Jerusalem area. For he hath put all things under his feet. When he said all things are put on him, it is manifested that he is left out, which did put all things under him. So you're talking to two people there. And when all things should be subdued unto him, and that's put into a divine order, which is the same word as the klusma, which is the shout. The military command. The coxswain giving the time or the rhythm to the rowers to get in harmony. And so this is part of the shout. That God himself is bringing a people into subjection at this particular time, in order that his kingdom can be established on earth, and there's going to, and right to the place of restoration, even to New Jerusalem, which is going to come down upon the earth. And that's what I want you to see here. When all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Now that lets you know right there that what we're looking at is at this hour, that the Holy Spirit is here in the form of a pillar of fire, and he's bringing everything to a place of complete subjection, and he has to start in this particular area where the bride must be put into a divine order. And when Brother Branham preached church order, it just wasn't a little bit about gifts in a little room. He said the bride has to know her place, and when she knows her place, and she knows who she is, and she has the word of the Lord, she'd be of one mind with that word, then she is going to be ready for the rapture. Then it says, else what shall they do that are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why then are they baptized for the dead, and why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? What he's speaking of there is that Christ literally rose from the dead, and if he has not literally risen from the dead, why are you getting bothered to be baptized? Because when you're baptized in water, you're signifying that you believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to have a resurrection just like his. See, why do you bother to get baptized? And then he said, if this isn't true, this resurrection, and what is going to happen in our hour, which is happening now, he said, why do we stand in jeopardy? Why do we take the insults and the blame? And why do we go the way we're going? He said, why? He said, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. There's somebody said, eat, drink, and be merry. Go on, cut a rug, do what you want to do. No hell to go to anyway. There's no God to reckon with. Nobody knows anything. So just blast it. Take off an orbit. You're slow. You didn't get there fast enough. See, well, look at all these things going out there, all the terrible things coming upon earth. Well, who knows? We say, well, I think that's got to be God doing that because they're broken righteous laws. We believe that to be true. But if it isn't true? See, there's no resurrection. You say, well, maybe we go to some place and there's no resurrection, just being a happy, happy land. Well, you know, you're not believing like Paul did. You haven't got your Bible straight. There's got to be a physical resurrection. And I think there's some poppycock going around this message. Now people are getting, they haven't got their head screwed on right. Brother Branham distinctly said, he said, if I drop this book, something like that, he said, and comes up a, you know what? What you got here? Well, comes up a wallet. If I can find my wallet here, and my poor brother Brandon couldn't find one that time, he preached for it, didn't have a dollar bill. Okay, if a book came up a wallet, that's not resurrection, that's replacement. So we're not looking at that. Now, you won't have the same bodies. They won't be bodies that you multiply with and procreate. They're going to be bodies with no blood, and the life is in the blood, so you couldn't procreate if you tried. There'd be no trying anyway. But we're in this period now. That's what we're looking at. And that's why Brother Branham brought this to our attention, because this is a now message. See, now you're not even looking down the road when you look at this. You're looking at what you've already been channeled into when time and eternity blended. See, it's now in progress. And you'll find a lot of this in the future home of the earthly bride and the heavenly bridegroom. Right back exactly to Eden again, as hard as it can go. You say, well, he's been gone 20-some years, so what? What is 25 to 50 years to 100 when you consider thousands of years or millions of years or trillions, or consider eternity, which is infinity, the infinite. All right. Let's read now where we're going to start for this evening. Listen closely now, again, as we go on. Going back to the original Eden. Now, up here he said, going back, right back exactly to Eden, as hard as it can go, and he's speaking of New Jerusalem. Now, remember, Brother Branham categorically stated that Eden was God's headquarters. So, therefore, what he's saying, you're going back to God's original headquarters. Now, God's original headquarters was not populated with what God wanted in the original headquarters. But when the original headquarters come down, it'll be populated as God wants it. Because in his mind, he had this kingdom with the Lamb on the throne and himself above the throne, the pillar of fire. So now you're going back to the original, not just to the to the premise or the blueprint. You're going back to what God had, and remember, whatever God says has to be. If it's going to be 1 year or a trillion years, it's going to be. So therefore, he said, going back to original Eden, God's complete government. See? And then, when we are born of him, we are filled with him. Now, he's telling you here that the rebirth comes by the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now, at this point, I want you to watch carefully, because he's going to be talking about the church, and you'll think he's talking about you and me when he's talking indirectly to you and me about himself. Now, when I use the term indirectly, I mean that you and I are identified with him. As the scripture said, you may have many teachers, but you got one father. See, so listen carefully. See, his life is in you. Then all your actions should declare him. Now, actions versus signs is a different thing. Now, watch. Then all your actions should declare him. In other words, everything you do is going to have a symbolic meaning to it, a manifested Christ meaning to it. It's like taking life out of one tree and putting it in another tree. Taking life out of a pear tree and putting it in an apple tree, it'll bear pears. It's got to, because the sap, the life in it, the germ is pear tree. All right. Then all our actions should declare him. Well, is that a fact? I can try right now that Brother Branham said the Hindus have better actions than you and I got. Christian Science got better action. He just, the same sermon, he said the Shungai over in Africa got better actions than we got. And better morals. See? Now, we know that this is calling to us to a holy living, a true legalism in adhering to the living word which is now amongst us. Now, that does refer to us. Now, we have his name. Is that right? We should bear his name. Now, that's true. That definitely is true about us. Because we have his name. Remember, in his name shall the Gentiles trust. That's in Matthew 12. See? Fleshwise, no. We trust in the name. And remember, it's the name in Ephesians 1 that he inherited, that the mystery of it and the greatness is revealed to us. In fact, every prayer, every baptism, every marriage ceremony, everything that we have is based upon that name in the church. All right. And remember, we are now, as his bride, impregnated with his spirit. Now, to impregnate signifies that something has taken place where two bodies have come together, one of which is the sperm and one is the egg. So therefore, we are now as his bride. If we've been made pregnant, then we have something in us that has been attached by God's Holy Spirit. Now, oh my, the church bearing children. Now notice he's putting it now as the bride corporate. The church bearing children. See, impregnated by his spirit with his name, bearing his name, bearing his life, bringing forth the signs of his life, evident with the preeminence, evidence of his resurrection, showing he's not dead, but alive forever. This is eternal life, a vindicates to the world that we are alive in him. Now, what you're looking at here, of course, once more, as we see, we are now as his bride, pregnated with his Holy Spirit. Now, we have that as an individual. We have that as the corporate. So, with the Holy Spirit then, corporately, cannot be given or thought of in terms now as individually. Because corporately, it is the Spirit of God in our midst that is doing these things through the prophet that God is using, because God uses prophets. So what we're seeing here is Brother Branham is talking of his own Elijah ministry, not simply fruitage. And also, I just mentioned that one over here that you have many teachers, but you only got one father. I think that's what I might want over here. And if in 1 Corinthians 4:15, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus have I begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Now, he's saying here then that the church is able at this time, the bride, with the Spirit of God in her midst, and each one, of course, individually full of the Holy Ghost, is able to bring forth children unto God by the Spirit, that these mighty acts and wonders are done in his name, bearing his name, which means showing forth that he is the one who is our life, bearing his life, bringing forth the signs of his life, evident with the preeminence. Now, watch that carefully. They're bringing forth the signs of his life, evident with the preeminence, evidence of his resurrection, showing he is not dead but alive forevermore. Now, if you're going to just put that down to signs of the resurrection, and signs that that will say happened at Pentecost and after Pentecost, and Peter said, well, this one that's dead was that you killed and crucified is risen, and all these signs and these things are going on. Well, that's all very good. But if that's the case, then there is no room for Brother Branham to preach the anointed ones of the end time. Because they've got all those signs and wonders of his resurrection. See? But that's not it. This is the sign of his resurrection, which presages our resurrection. And the resurrection of the bride. Because that's exactly what took place. When Christ was here upon earth, he did those things exactly which would allow him to bring forth the resurrection of those saints that were in the dust. And the same thing is happening today because Alpha is Omega. Now, he is not dead. Signs of his evidence of his resurrection showing he is not dead but alive forevermore. This is eternal life. Now, let's just take a look and see what John says about eternal life. In 1 John, the first chapter, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which you have seen with their eyes, which you looked upon, which your hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested. And that word there positively shows that it was the complete evidence and perfect revelation that this was God in his true character. Absolutely proven who he was. And we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Now those people were given a witness by John the Apostle, who was there to see that this indeed was the Christ. Now, we don't need a second-hand reference. At least I don't, because I was there with Brother Branham. Some of you there perhaps were in meetings when you saw the actual manifestation of Almighty God in the midst of his church. Now, for those who weren't there, then you're in the position where John is speaking to the others. And the witness is this. We saw the true manifestation of God in this hour. See? Now, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ, and these things write unto you that your joy may be full. Now, John is telling them, look here, if you want to have fellowship, If you want to be a part of this, you're going to have to take the witness that we're giving concerning what took place in our day. And if you don't, then you don't have fellowship. You're not part of the bride. Now, I know a lot of people don't like that. See, because they think there's some little setup here where it just goes on automatically and everything is just fine. But that's not true. Now, let's go back to Colossians and just see this. I think it's the third chapter I want. The fourth verse, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, that's absolutely manifested in his true character. So absolutely, then shall you also appear, be manifested in your true character at the time of this glorification. Your true character, that you are a child of God, will be to follow what John said. As Paul said. He said, you won't got many people to teach it, but you've got one Father. So therefore, where does the bride at the end time get, so to speak, this insemination, gets it through the prophet, as it came through Paul, came through John, comes through William Branham this hour, to give us that word of eternal life. Now, this eternal life which is in our midst, and in each of us in a small portion. Now it says, how do you know that this, what he says, is true? That the Holy Spirit is here, so the children can be brought forth, spiritual children, unto Almighty God, knowing absolutely that they are children of God because of the evidence that is manifested. Now, how do you know? Because you're a church member? Because Christ is living through you, so impregnated with his Spirit that you're a prisoner to anything else, or from anything else, you might say. You're confined to the gospel, confined to the word. Now look, everybody says that. Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, Baptists, Methodists, Pentecostals officially. Okay? But this is different. This is something here that has to do with the prisoner. All the children that you can bring forth are the same because you're a prisoner. So now, what you're looking at here is William Branham's testimony, like the Apostle Paul. Let's see if we get this over here in Ephesians, the third chapter. For this cause I, Paul, verse 1, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. Now watch what he said. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Didn't say for himself. Not for himself. This had nothing to do with him in the sense of this prisoner context. The context is very special for the Gentiles. If you've heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge and mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed by his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of grace to God given me by the effectual work of his power. Now, Brother Branham can say the very same thing here. He said, this revelation of the resurrection and the time and the events leading to the rapture were known previously and set forth by the Apostle Paul. Now, William Branham can say that. But not known as they are now known. For I have become a prisoner unto God in order to give you people in this hour this revelation that God's given me. Now, that's what he's saying here. Absolutely. Now, you can't commit adultery. You're already impregnated. Now, watch. You can't commit adultery. Ha! You tell me a pregnant woman can't commit adultery? Well, that's the time she's safe to do it. So something's not reading quite right according to human thoughts on this one right here. You can't commit adultery. You're already pregnant. Well, now Brother Branham said that fornication was between two young people before marriage, and adultery is fornication or the same act committed after marriage. Well, let me see if we can find something in Deuteronomy chapter 22 just to look at here. Now, I'm not going to try to make this stick, but I just wonder if something isn't in here that this prophet might have been saying.
Okay, beginning of verse 13. If any man take a wife and go in unto her and hate her, he's had intercourse with her. Now he hates her. And give occasion to speech against her, and bring up an evil name upon her, and say, I took this woman. When I came to her, I found her not a maid. In other words, she'd already had some other man. Then shall the father, the damsel, and the mother take and bring forth the proof, that's tokens, the proof of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate. And the damsel father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter this man to wife, and he hated her. And lo, he'd given occasion of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid, and yet this is the proof of my daughter's virginity. And what's the proof? They shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. The elders of the city shall take that man and chastise him, and so on. Now, there are those who, I don't mean to be an X-rated sermon preacher, but let's face it, I call a spade a spade. Now, the cloth of the virginity evidently can signify one of two things or both things, which I think it signifies one. There are those who claim that every woman, of course, is so constructed by the hymen that if she is entered by a male, that hymen will break and split and cause blood to drip. That is not true. Unless God had a plan where that could only happen in Israel and perhaps no place else. And they say that's the cloth of the wedding night that shows the girl was indeed a virgin. I disagree with that myself. I believe the cloth of virginity shows she's had her menstrual period and therefore she has not been pregnant. And that cloth would be that she would marry perhaps right after that period had taken place. And that's a time for fertility also. Proving that she was evident. This is my understanding here. You do what you want. We're not going to make doctrine. I just want to show you something here. See? In other words, this girl wasn't pregnant. That's what Brother Branham is saying here. Now, you can, so therefore, the girl had not committed adultery, had not fornicated at all, showed that she was, if she was going to bring forth a child, it was going to be the child of the man to whom she was married. Now, you can't commit adultery, you're already impregnated. So he's telling me here, as far as I'm concerned, you already have had your husband. You're a virgin. A pregnant virgin, that's exactly what it comes to. And because of this very act, you will not be allowed to get the seed of anybody else in your womb, period. Now, if this girl had come to this man, and there was no sign of her virginity, which, as they say, medical history wouldn't allow you two bits for that, what's in the Bible here, but we go by the Bible. She showed that she wasn't pregnant, so therefore now, she can be pregnant, and let's say she is pregnant. She could have intercourse normally from that time on. There'd be no way, if she had 50 men, that she could be pregnant by the other 49. Because the womb is locked up. So Brother Branham says here, if you're truly pregnant by the Spirit of the living God, this word, there is no way that you will ever take any other doctrine from any other person in any other way. You can't commit adultery. As married to God, there's no way that you'll be involved with anybody else. See? He cannot take hold. The womb of life is closed to anything else. You're already His by predestination. Now, that's very good for you and me. And we appreciate that from the prophet. But this statement is more concerning him than concerning you and me. Because the prophet has got to be infallible. If he comes in the name of the Lord, the thing will come to pass. Then what he says is the word of the Lord. So he's infallible. So all right, what is this man like? Here, predestinated. Jeremiah, the first chapter. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, verse 4, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Now this is foreknowledge and election before even impregnation. There wasn't any Jeremiah, but there was. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. There you are, already predestinated. That seed has come to life. Now this man Jeremiah said, Lord, he said, I'm a child, I can't speak. Send somebody else. He said, no. He said, you're predestinated. There comes a time when the seed, the prophet seed, has to come to life. The same as your seed and mine that's in us, by God's grace, has to come to life. Or in other words, come to recognition. No, the world, that seed has to come to life. No world can get in. Oh, how we'd like to stay on this for about an hour. I'm sure you understand. Understand what? Understand the prophet telling about himself and understanding your and my identification. That once you believe this message, you're stuck. If you believe it right, it's never going to get away from it, and you're never going to get away from it. Okay, I'm sure you understand. So the womb of the mind is closed. Then no seed can get in, and there's no desire for that seed. Now, I'm sure you understand, Christ and His alone. See? Now, let's just look at this. 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter. Now it says here in verse 10 concerning Antichrist, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish. In other words, a church order built upon the Bible, sprinkled with creeds and dogmas, like Cain, brings forth a Bible worship that God hates. You see, the Catholics have the Bible. How did the Catholics get the Bible? Through Mr. Pentecost, Mr. Duplessis. Being a friend and confidant of the cardinals, the bishops, the priests, and especially Mother Pope. He wouldn't like that, would he? Well, come back to Mother. In them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Saved from what? Wrath to come. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. You shall not live but die. You're born again, it's fine. Talk in tongues, that's great. That the all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They wouldn't take the divided word. Because unrighteousness is to worship God apart from the structure of the revealed word. You can say what you want, but I'm telling you what it is. If your minds are lined up by now, after all these years of teaching, they should be by now. I've been preaching this ever since 1964, 65, or 66. Now, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, even belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they're getting their glory down the road and we get ours. This message that Paul has, which is updated through Revelation by William Branham, prophet of God, will absolutely give us immortality. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall appear with him in glory. And the appearing and the manifestation has been going on for years. Now that appearing is finished as far as I know. Christ is alone. Already finished. The seed was there. Okay, the seed is a germ of life. Or the seed contains a germ of life. The seed already was there. When was it put there? Before the foundation of the world. Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. How far back was that? Eternity. Eternity. Has predestined us unto eternal life. And as soon as the life-giving flow, that seed lying there, other seeds that just would come in wouldn't take hold just because couldn't do it. Now, let's just examine this. The thinking man's filter. I'll just read a little bit here. When a thinking man begins to think who he's going to stand before and what the Word of God is, when he begins to think, then when he draws through that, there's nothing can get to it but the Holy Ghost. What is it? It's the germ, seed word from the beginning, that you was in God at the beginning, standing here drawing the life seed. Now it tells you that. Where were you in the beginning? A certain part of you was in God at the beginning. Came down through natural election and predestination. So like the eagle among the chickens, when the scream came, you understood and rose to the occasion. The seed is in your heart by foreordination. It was meant to be there and it's there. Hallelujah. The seed is already there by the foreknowledge of God, predestinated. Now listen, foreordination is in the mind and power of God. So is election. But there's two sides to election. Foreknowledge has only got one side. That's God's side. Election has two sides. You already were chosen in him and manifested when the voice came. You chose him because he'd already chosen you. That's physical. Then you get to the third, which is predestination. God knew you were going to do it. You were made, you were formed for the purpose of doing it. Now that's your side. Now God's side is to take you all the way to glorification. Okay. And when it draws, it can't draw to anything else but the Word. Then it's the taste of the thinking man, the righteous man, the holy man who sees the Bible that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's very important. We're going to get in that next Sunday. What comes into that place down there, that word that's in the heart, I've hidden thy word in my heart that I sin not against thee. What is it when it's drawing through the Word? There's only one thing will pass through the Word. That's the Holy Ghost. There's only one thing pass through the Holy Ghost, and that's the Word. That's the only thing that can pass through the Word is the Holy Ghost. And a thinking man's filter gives the holy man taste. Now what he's looking at here, and I'm looking at, is the fact that when God breathed into Adam the breath of lives and man became a living soul, it was ordained that man should be the channel of procreation, not sexually at that point, to bring forth children, which would be the children of God. That was going to be their job. Because they were to replenish the earth. In other words, they would act as God, who in a creative act brought them forth, and a forming act brought them forth. They would do something, not necessarily that, but they would do something. And as Brother Hall brought out so nicely, when the life went from the Word to the blood as far as procreation was concerned, then they began to procreate. But remember, they still had to bring forth children unto God to replenish the earth, but now they're fallen sons. As an Adam all dies, separated from God, even so Jesus is going to bring them back all the way to New Jerusalem. So that's what you're looking at, see? Now, I want you to notice then, that as far as I can understand Scripture, as Brother Branham said, there is a natural election. Christ had a natural election. He had to, that's why he's born in the tribe of Judah from both sides. Now, Mary and Joseph didn't have a thing to do with him. But he had to be in that tribe. He had to have a genealogy. So he's born in there on the account of the genealogy fulfilling Scripture. And brothers, the Scripture says Christ was elect. So you leave it their way. So also we are elect. Now, how did you get that way? Because you were born with something. Now, you might wonder that, but let's just check it out and just begin to see. See, I tell you, I preach on these things because people still can't see. I don't understand, people. I don't even try to. Now, verse 7, chapter 9 of Romans, 6. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because are they the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That's true. And because Isaac has children, doesn't mean they're all children of Abraham. It's just letting you know that certain ones, Ishmael was not, and the seven sons of Keturah were not. Isaac. Eight more boys, only one was elected. That is, they which are of the they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. In other words, the promise. They're promised children. To bring four children unto God. These are the ones. They're going to come by flesh. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but Rebecca also conceived by one. Not two men, but by one. And one insemination. By Father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but him that calleth. It was said in her, the elder shall serve the younger, as is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. In other words, you're already born. To an end. See, that's, you can't get away with it. The seed's got to come down. Come down to anybody, anything, because it's all mixed up today. It's all one lump. The Bible teaches that. All right? The prophet comes the same way. Now, other seeds that would just come in, wouldn't take hold, couldn't do it. Can't do it. Now, you and I have had a lot of false word before, but you can't from now on, if we're true seed. But when the seed came in, quickly it stopped up the womb. All the rest of the seed was driven out. See, like that. And you become a prisoner surrounded in Christ Christ in you, is like bringing forth his evidences, his signs. Oh, my, my. Look, bringing forth his signs of life as an evidence of his resurrection, proving to the world that eternal life, and vindicates to the world that we're alive in him. Think of it. Alive with God our Redeemer, who created us for the very same purpose, the church, and his created life in us. Now, think of it. Alive with God our Redeemer, who created us for the very same purpose, the church, and his created life in us. Now, he says two things here. Alive with God and the life in us. That's what he's talking about. Now watch. That is. Now he's going to explain this. Born again believers, the bride, and here is God in the midst. Moses could say by the word of God, let there come, and there come flies. Now you think an ordinary member can do that? No way. That's a prophet like out of Moses. A God that can make flies can make squirrels. Now you know he's talking about himself. See? So what's he talking about? He's talking about a prophet who is infallible. That in no way can this prophet give us a wrong word. That Satan cannot get in. The smooth talkers cannot get in. That nobody can change the mind of William Branham.
Amen.
Nobody can put a word in his mind. Nobody can take a word out of his mind. He has sealed himself in before us as I am a distinguished, distinctive, vindicated prophet. let's face it. The very same God that creates life, you see, that in you can do that. The very same God can do that. Do what? Create squirrels. Same as he created frogs and flies. The very same God, that creative life, you see, that's in you can do that. Now he tells you how it can be done. Now it sounds like he's saying, you can do it. Well, I wish somebody would do it. I'd like to see somebody create flies and do some creative things. I'd like to see him do the things that William Branham did. And you see, if you do that, everybody got a straight repeat all over again. Now he says, you're a prisoner. You can't speak it till he says speak it.
Amen.
Now, look, we're talking about the token. The token that could not appear until evening time. The token is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So therefore, the Elijah of this hour is the token, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's not in you and me, per se. Little bit of the life is. But not the token. There's no way. There's no way that every single one of us could actually be a reincarnation of Jehovah. We'd all be prophets. Wouldn't work. See? You just go by the testimony, what these people produce. He's vindicated it to be so. Everything else is right. No, you're a prisoner. You can't speak it or he speaks it. But when it is spoken, it's God's word. He's vindicated to be so. Everything else is right. And he knows that when it's spoken, it's got to be so. See, Moses took his rod and said, let there come frogs. Because God said, let there come frogs. Moses just transmitted it on out. That's right. And frogs were in everything. Everywhere there were frogs. Where did they come from? Nobody knows. They weren't there before. That's like the Persian. You know how they get there. Who knows? Doesn't talk about the coming. He talks about the person being there. Talks about a presence suddenly there.
Amen.
Who knew God would appear in the sea? Who knew the Lord would come suddenly to the temple? Who knew he'd suddenly appear at the river? Who knew anything? Nobody knew.
Right.
William Branham didn't know himself. Right. Moses didn't know. Prophets don't know. God does his own thing. There are prophets that follow along. Now I want to admit here that Brother Branham said the bride will have the word and know what to do with it or keep still till God tells her. Whatever that means to you and me, I don't know. It's a promise. Where it goes, don't ask me. Let's wait and find out. Just believe God that is there, but don't try to pull anything through it. See, everywhere frogs. Where'd they come from? Nobody knows. But the Creator God working through a man. Through a man. Not men, not bodies, one man. Created things, a living species. Not a new species, but a living species. See? And the creative power shows we're going to get back to Eden. The very God that made the first frog can make second frog. He makes all frogs. Oh my. You see what I mean? Made the first squirrel, makes the second squirrel, makes any squirrel, can make squirrels where there are no squirrels. He can do anything he wants to. He's God. He's God. He has life. Oh my. Same thing read in John. Now, if you want to have fellowship, well, John, he says here, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declared to you, this, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, that's Cain. That's where light becomes dark. If we walk in the light, as he's the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now, what's it based upon? It's based upon receiving the testimony of those that had access to manifested God. See? Now, to think of it makes me shiver. Oh, to live with him, going home with him, to live with him. Remember, the same one said, well, how would I take a walk with me? Going home with him, to live with him forever, having eternal life. Now, this ministry brings the word that has the life to do it. Because it's the word in this season. Going to go home to him, having eternal life. Now, from what Brother Branham was saying here, above, the creation of the squirrels, and God doing what he wants to do because he's God, then bringing this thought in here, going home to live with him, seems to indicate that we will witness in the millennium tremendous things, and much, I would think, of what will comprise the new Jerusalem. We'll be privy to it. Because he can't create new heavens and new earth till he dissolves them. And we're going to be there during it. So he's looking at being a partaker, an onlooker, a creature of God in his image, body image of Jesus Christ particularly, standing there when God in the ages to come will do tremendous and wonderful things. And the prophet knows it because he's seen squirrels created. And he knew it wasn't a vision or hallucination because he walked over and the squirrel was warm and he said, visions don't bleed. Then went home and ate the vision. And home and ate the squirrels. And that makes you think what he's talking about. How real it is. And you and I don't need any more science to know this.
Amen.
If we can't believe the word of God that's been vindicated, forget it. You haven't got anything. We haven't got anything anyway. Just shows who we are. This is God's great mystery of love expressed, that God and man became one. Of course he did in Christ. And now we can see again. See, the whole thing is God and man one. That's why we have the scripture speaking of marriage. Christ loving the bride. God and man were one there, and God and man are one here. See, what is it? Being filled with his spirit. With him, being filled with the Spirit. Him having it personally. Well, maybe we're on wrong page. Oh, here we are. I'm telling you I was reading wrong here. Being filled with the Spirit, with him having the preeminence. That was God's achievement. That's God's purpose to do that. That he might be in Christ and Christ in us and all of us together, one. The Holy Spirit. Same thing that revealed it to Christ reveals it here. Now watch. Same thing that revealed it to Christ reveals it here. The supernatural creative power. Oh my. Now you should, I think what he really means there, the supernatural creating power. What creative power is all right? He's talking that God the Creator was in Christ. And he said, the Father in me doeth the works. So William Branham is saying it's God in me doing the works. In other words, what God did for the Gentiles in the form of Jesus Christ, he now does, I beg your pardon, for Israel in the form of the flesh, he now does for the Gentiles at the end time when he avenges or he vindicates the Gentiles that their believing is correct. There is a Gentile bride. Now, remember, all the prophets had a part of Christ. Now, what are we seeing Christ in this last day? We're seeing the fullness of God demonstrated, bringing about a resurrection. God in the prophets, God proving himself, John 14 and 12, greater works than this should you do because I go to my Father. Now, the same God that could say to Moses, let there come frogs, the same one can stand up there and say, let there be light. or rather, let water be turned to wine. See? Amen. Is that right? He's the same God, the same one. He just doesn't change. It's God in man. Now watch this again. It's God in man, or a man, one man. That's his manifestation. So you can't bring this thing into a place where you say, I've got some manifestation, I've got something, I've got this. Nobody can do that. That's what he's revealing. That's what he's trying to do. And God's own word reveals and shows that man cannot create. God's the creator. And it isn't any man. It isn't man anymore. It's God, the creator in man, in a man, which is his church now, going home to heaven, live with him. Now he's letting you know that Elijah restores all things before the resurrection in order to get us back home. This is Elijah. The Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The token is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The actual sealing in, the bringing of the word. All of these have come to a headship. Headship is here. God ever expresses eternal love to the church. So what's he talking about? Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, 1 to 7 is all in here. Now, the creative word he's talking about here is in the true church by the member that God placed in the church to do it. That's what you're looking at. You're seeing a man here. Now, this is also Hebrews 1 and 1, God in the prophets. See? The God in William Branham, for those occasions, or what's going on here, is God expressed in the midst of the church, so the bride knows who her mate is. Listen, listen close now. I want you not to fail to get this. No other church, no other sign, no other fellowship, government, testimony, creed, denomination is accepted outside of this. Now, if you're in all of these things, that's fine. If you believe this. Now watch. Only thing that God recognizes. No fellowship. No creed. Denomination. Nothing. Everything else is dead. Its fragments have to be cut off. Pruned away from the thing that God, that Christ may have, that Christ might live with preeminence in you. Not referring back. I got one laying here that says it's my organization. That's got to be cut off too. It's got my so-and-so here. This says this. My mother will tell me I'm a holy roller. That's got to be cut off too. Well, I know my husband wants me to wear these shorts. That's got to be cut off too, see? It's got to be cut off and pruned till there's just Christ, you and Christ alone. Think. Now, he says only one thing that God recognizes. And he doesn't tell you what it is here. He said this is what he doesn't recognize. Then what does he recognize? Here's what he recognizes. By the living presence of the living Christ by the living word. Now, that's simple, I trust. Here's your token again, recognition. By the living presence of the living Christ. Or you might say, by the living Christ being present, making his word live. That's exactly what he's saying. The living Christ living in his word and him present. Now listen, listen to it. Oh, living Christ, now he changes it. Up here is living presence, living Christ, living word. Here, it's living Christ, living presence, living word. That's true. That's what it is. Watch. By his own personal vindication, proves his church, not members. See? How'd they recognize the token back in Moses' day? By the very fact that the token was there. God is there in a pillar of fire, doing his signs and wonders. Not Moses, but using Moses. He never did in the days of Moses. He never did in the days of anybody else at the end of the world when it came to the place where it was destruction, like in Noah. In the days of Lot, it wasn't membership. It was a personal vindication, God in flesh, personal vindication. Now, that must be emphasized because the church is standing not on anything it did, but what God did for the church through a prophet himself being present. Now, not all was in the prophet. Remember, Moses was no longer Moses when the word was out. Now watch. Listen, I'm going to explain this, as far as I can see this. Luther had a measure, and so did the Lutherans. Wesley had a measure, and the Wesleyans picked up from Wesley and got their measure. Pentecost. And now today, Brother Branham had the fullness, and we utilize it, the same as did Luther's from Luther, Wesleyans from Wesley, and Pentecost and Pentecost. But today, Adam and Eve are back as one, ready to go home, and take all the rest of the people with us, and they take them with us. We're at the end time. See? Now, because he's put a juncture here. The juncture is Noah and Lot. The flood, Sodom and Gomorrah. What was it? Personal, the living Christ. His living presence. His living word. See? By his own personal vindication, proves his church, not members. No, sir. He never did by members before, and he never will do it. It's by one person. Remember, think of it. That people born of his spirit, and at a day like this, in this great denomination age we live, and the living God takes his living word and vindicates it personally. Now, what does he say here? God, the living God, takes his living word. Now, why does the word live? Because God makes it live. He brings it to pass. And he vindicates it personally. In other words, the word for this hour has God's personal vindication upon it. See? Now, this life that's in the word, the germ that's in the seed, in other words, it should be read this way, this life that's in the word is like unto the germ that's in the seed. Because there's a life in the word, and there's a germ in the seed. And the word is the seed that the sower went forth to sow. And God brought his word to this hour, and there's a life in it that must be brought up so it lives at this moment. See, because it's forming a body. And the life is Christ in the word, personally in you, vindicating something you cannot do, proving himself that it's not in you, but it's him or he. And you become one, a love slave to him to be a bride. Now look, you know that right off here, they're talking about a sellout. First of all, there's a sellout of the prophet, then there's a sellout of the individuals. Because nobody needs to prove himself. The only person that needs to prove himself is the prophet. The people that prove themselves believe the prophet. Come to the prophet. That's what it's all about. And remember, that's what Moses said, a prophet like unto me shall the Lord your God raise up, and that was Jesus. And he was vindicated. The people were not vindicated. John the Baptist was not vindicated. The apostles were not vindicated. Jesus was vindicated. And those who believed him received it. Received what? What he was vindicated to produce. Now, William Branham is vindicated to produce a shout that is going to bring forth a people into a resurrection and immortality. So you don't have to believe anything for yourself. You don't believe anything for yourself from yourself that you've got to produce. All you produce is faith, which is in your heart, is not in your faith anyway. In other words, a sellout to the vindicated message and the vindicated messenger. We do not need to prove ourselves. God supplied the proof and we believe it. And thereby are we approved. You see? Now, oh, I could take many, many scriptures here, but I won't do it. For instance, the scripture for this hour is what? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven the shout. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Revelation 1-10. 2 Thessalonians 1:7 about 13. It's right on down the line. See, now listen. The life that's in the word, like the life that's in a seed, because the word is the seed. And the life is Christ in the word personally in you. Now, it doesn't say here that this book here, say, now this is the word, and there's a life goes with it. No. The life wrote this. But when the hour comes, as in a juncture in this hour in a prophet, then the life that is in this word, the life goes into the prophet. And he reveals the word that's to come alive at that time. Therefore, he is the living word of God manifested to the people, and the people receive it. And then when they do, they've got the word that contains life. And remember, only the word contains life, because the word is a conduit for the Holy Ghost, which is life. That's what he's saying here. And the life is Christ's word personally in you, vindicating something you cannot do. That's not you and me. There's something you and I can do, which is believe. There's others up to him. And you become one, a love slave to him to be a bride. And Brother Branham was a love slave to the word, same as Paul was. See, we read that in 1 Corinthians 4:14-16, And in Ephesians, the first chapter, he's a slave. And you see the same thing in 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. And he's talking about the great transformation coming. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. To actually see Christ. To see the Anuntis as the Omega. Because remember, we're changed by the renewing of the mind. Thanks be to the living God who created the heavens, the earth, and all that's in the midst. Oh, what's in what midst? Why say thanks be unto God? Well, come on, that's the one over here in Revelation 10. I saw another mighty messenger come down from heaven, clothed in a cloud, and rainbow about his head, and his face were the sun, and feet filled with fire. That the one that sat upon the throne. And he had in his hand a little book open. He set his right foot upon the sea and left upon the earth. He cried a loud voice when the land roared. And when he cried seven times on the voice, I was about to write and heard a voice of him saying, seal up the things for 7 times on the right or not. The angel I saw upon the sea and upon the earth lifted his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever who created heaven and the things that there are in and the earth and things that therein are and the sea and the things which are therein that there should be time no longer. So there you are. God himself, the great messenger of the end time covenant, comes down and said, okay, time's run out. What time? It's time for immortality. Time to stretch forth the hand. Time to wind it all up. You see? And he said, where is he? He's in the midst. That's what is it over here? Luke 17. 20 verse, when he demanded the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he had said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. It comes and you won't even notice it. Neither shall they say, lo here, lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. So don't go looking down the road for the kingdom of God. Recognize it now. See? Because kingdom means government. And right now, the one that's here is putting everything under the feet of Jesus until he can be handed all back. In other words, God got to pay back to the man Christ Jesus, his own son, what he's supposed to receive. Because Christ paid a price for it. No wonder he's Alpha and Omega. That's the first chapter of Revelation. What is that? The revelation of the judge. Ring by the messengers. Coming on down. You that are troubled, rest with us when he shall be revealed from heaven. For these mighty messengers, bringing vengeance. Saves us, destroys them. But he's got to get us out first. Get us out first, rather. Alpha and Omega. He which was, which is, which shall come, and the root and offspring of David. The bright and morning star, he's all in all. What is he? Son of man, soon to be son of David. His presence in the individual with a personal vindication of himself, expressing himself, the living word that's promised for the day, expressing itself through you. Should have said me. Might as well, I should have said it. But he wouldn't. A vindication of the great revelation of God. Look, only in an individual. Never in a group. In an individual. Not in a group. His identification is with an individual. Me, William Branham. I'm Elijah. I'm Malachi 4. You can't say it any plainer. You get it not with the Methodist bishops. Not with the Baptist elders, not with the presbyters, not with the Lutheran synod, not with the Pentecostal chairman. I will put that in there. I'm reading some words in there to make it clearer. But as an individual. In other words, it's not a group. And it's not somebody who thinks he's got something. It's somebody that's God's in speaking through him and do the works that God said he would do to prove this is the word for the hour. I'll take one, I'll leave one, I'll separate them. That's Matthew 24. That's the word doing it. That's right. Two in a field, take one. Two in a bed, take one. Two in the church, take one. It's a personal, it's not a group, it's a personal vindication of a pregnated child of God, filled with the Holy Ghost. So surrendered to God that he doesn't care about anything else, and the Holy Spirit living its life, pulsating through him, showing the personal vindication of the Word itself, expressing itself to, not in the people, or from the people, or by the people, but to the people, and to the world. So make up your mind. I thought people would be the Word and world being. No, bride. And world. End time evangelism. Like Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, the flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God, loved me and gave himself for me. Utter crucifixion. See? In other words, completely given over to the Word of God. That personal life of God pulsating through the individual. How can the world blindly walk by something like that? They can walk by anything that you and I can produce, even if it was Christ in the virtues and the fruitage and even signs and wonders. See, now there's a razor blade edge when you get too far down the road. How do we blindly walk by something like that? Just the same as the Catholics walked by St. Patrick and didn't recognize what after you did. Now he's telling you something here. Same thing they did to St. Martin, didn't recognize. The same thing did in all ages. The same thing did Joan of Arc. The Catholic Church burned her for a witch because she was spiritual. About 150 years later, dug up the body of those priests and threw them in the river to do penance. That's a testimony of the prophets. So did we recognize Brother Branham for what he was, who he was, and what he did till he passed off the scene? No way. We're only just beginning to see more and more of it now. He was personally vindicating himself here by his own testimony. And that's right. It goes right by them and they don't recognize it till it's gone. It only picks up the predestinated seed that God predestinated before the foundation of the earth. So you had to be here in the form to get it. The same thing came through the days of Noah. Same thing came through the days of Moses. Days of Elijah. Days of the prophets. Days of Jesus. On down through unto this very hour. The impregnated person with the seed of God, the Word in there manifesting itself, so surrendered to the will of God that the Word and the Word alone manifests itself in this person to the prisoner, to an individual. That's only the prophet, brother, sister, or unless the bride's going to have something so great, which I believe there's a revival coming. But I can't see that except for the prophet. Just the apostle Paul said, I've been vindicated, I magnify my office. He said, if you've got anything at all, you know that what I tell you is from God, you don't have it. See? Now, you know, many people don't understand this. And they're looking for something more. And they say, Brother Branham must come back with a return ministry. Now, I don't say what Brother Branham is going to do because I don't know. But I'm going to tell you one thing. The return ministry has already happened. It was the return ministry of Jesus that we looked at that vindicated. So if he's going to come back and do something, I don't know what he's going to do. And when he does come back, it's going to be too late. So if you're looking for something to make you believe this, you missed it. Because this is the shout. When the voice comes, he's going to be back. Too late. Now you can have resurrection faith at that time, just to step up. Say, well, I think it's going to take something else to do. Well, you believe what you want. I Brother Brown said, we had everything under the seals to put us in the resurrection, for the rapture, and that goes past the resurrection. So I just go by what he says. Not say, my church did this, my church has nothing to do with it. It's an individual one person. And all hell is against this teaching. All hell is against the truth, but it's the truth. What time we got? That's enough. We're going to go recapitulate Sunday morning, and I want to go into full detail on the passage I just began to read there and bring some comments from other portions that Brother Branham said. So let's rise at this time. Sunday morning, 10:30. The Lord bless you. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we want to thank and praise you for love and light through Jesus Christ our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that we do know we had a vindicated prophet, and may we rest upon it never before. May we take this word, Lord, as life as never before. Father, if these things which we're talking about tonight are so true, and we know that they are true, God have mercy and give us something, Lord, that begins to give us a real red-hot revival in the bride as we never had it before. To take this message, Lord, for our very life as never before. Everything that the prophet denied, we want to deny. Everything he said, we want to take, O God. To the way we act, the way our clothes are, wash our faces, or anything else, Lord, that's in your word. We pray, O God, that we shall fall in your footsteps as obedient children of faith, manifest as sons of God in this last hour, this last day. Take this message for a healing, Lord, every single one of us, knowing we're coming into the resurrection and some into immortality. So, Father in heaven, we know this word contains everything to put us into a rapture. And, O God, if that's the case, then we have everything in this word to get us plumb to new Jerusalem, which is also true. And we see the whole vista laid out before us, that this is that hour. So, Father in heaven, we know that you've got to quicken it to us. We can't do it on our own. But, Lord, we can do on our own this. We can pray, and we do pray. God, quicken it to us in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Let it become our burning passion, Lord. Let it be, Lord, that we who are in this election and now into this predestination, Father, let it come forth in the predestinated form. And that's all we ask tonight, Lord, is you fulfill your word in us, and unto you be the honor and the glory in the wonderful, all-powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The Lord bless you. I want to start singing, take the name of Jesus with you, remember?